Blog Talk Radio.
DJ South Event coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina, and this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio, where I will speak truth to the black nation. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the mainstream liberal black agenda. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show, and if you have a question or comment, make sure you season it well. With respect, or you'll find yourself in danger of the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black by Color only. My good people out there. Wow. Man, I tell you, sometimes it takes you got to go through a little adversity to get a show. And I try to start, this show was supposed to start an hour earlier, but I ran into a problem with Skype. And I don't know why Skype doesn't, you know, give you some kind of a warning or something like that. And so I just put in for put the show up for an hour later, and you know, just got all this, you know, finally I got everything squared away. But first of all, let me get all my stuff out the way. If you would like to be a guest to call into the show, call in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284, and you can call about anything that's, you can call and talk about anything related to the topic matter, but I will give you a word of warning. Please be informed of the aforementioned fruit bat, the curse of the fruit bat. If you come on here and you just like to be confrontational, using character assassinations and ad hominem attacks and excessive profanity, trolling, things of that sort, you will have a very short time on this program. I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. You know, I'm not going to kick you off simply because you disagree with me, but I will kick you off for disrespect. Just come on here, be respectful, and you should have a pretty good time on this radio program. We're adults here, and we can hold a conversation like adults instead of this kindergarten sand-slinging confrontational type of mess that a lot of people like to engage in. But anyway, it's good to be back. I haven't done a show since February. March was kind of a crazy month for me this past March, and it seems like several Marches in succession have been kind of crazy for me, and I don't know why things get crazy around March, but I had a stepbrother to pass away in February, and last month they had his funeral, and I went up to D.C. to do his funeral and whatever. And I'm gonna tell you all one of the main reasons why I live in Durham, North Carolina. That D.C. traffic is crazy. It is crazy, and you have to be have a razor sharp wit about you when you drive into a place like Washington D.C. because I drove into D.C. and I was supposed to take one exit, but I took another and ended up in that D.C. traffic. And I had to, you know, get the GPS to show me a shortcut to get to my hotel. Driving in D.C. has never been fun for me. And now that they have all those security cameras up, you know, those speed cameras, you know, you really have to be careful about how you drive in Washington, D.C. Because, you know, if you go 1 mile an hour above the speed limit, you're probably going to get a letter in the mail saying, you know, you were clocked doing this and everything, and you need to pay, you know, $10 billion to, you know, to resolve this and all that and whatever they do up there. But went up there, got to see family and everything, which was okay. I'm not a person who likes to, I don't like visiting D.C. I really don't. And, you know, the mere fact that I have family up there, my mom lives up there. I got an aunt that lives up there, a couple of cousins. Of course, I mentioned my stepbrother. My stepbrother, he died nearly 10 years after his father died, because we went up to funeralize his father back in 2014. And he died of the same thing that his father died of, congestive heart failure. And, you know, and I want to use this as a slide to, you know, tell people, you know, look out for your health. Be careful about your health. You know, be mindful of your health. You know, don't do a lot of reckless things that could really wreck your health and lead to a short lifetime. Because let me tell you, my stepbrother, the same age as I am, 55 years old. He would have been 56 in a few more months. And I'm, you know, he's just a couple of months older than I am. You know, and, you know, saw his wife and whatever. And, you know, well, they didn't have his body at the funeral. They were going to do that for when they did the Mason version of his funeral. And I'm not going to go into detail about the Masons and everything. But went there, got to see family, you know, got some cookies from my mom. You know, we stayed in a hotel that was right down the street from where my mom lives anyway. If you ever go to a Washington, D.C. area and you want to go to a prime area and you don't want a very expensive hotel, you're not looking for the expensive experience of a hotel or whatever, you know, there's a hotel called the Red Roof Inn in Oxon Hill, Maryland, which is the little town where I grew up at. That's where Oxon Hill and Fort Washington area in Prince George's County, Maryland, that's where I grew up. That's where I went to school, graduated from high school. Came down here to Durham, loved it so much, I decided to stay down here. But if you're looking for a good hotel, I'd say a pretty decent hotel would be the Red Roof Inn on Oxon Hill Road in Oxon Hill, Maryland, because it's right across the street from I won't call them fine restaurants, they're good restaurants. My wife and I, we went to a seafood restaurant across the street there. It was excellent. You know, they got Chinese restaurants. They got a Target across the street there. They got a Safeway and everything, you know. But, I hate to hear that, Alaskan. I hate to hear that, you know. But the thing that really bothers me in all of this, you know, a parent should never have to bury a child. The biggest tragedy one could have is have their child pass away before they do. And it happens all the time. But to me, that's the tragic thing. You know, we weren't really close, so to speak. But I do remember back in 2013, my wife and I, we visited Washington, D.C. for Thanksgiving. And my stepdad, you know, he took me outside on the back porch. It was cold that day, too. It was freezing. And I was out there, and he was telling me, you know, he was showing me his old neighborhood and everything. And, you know, even though I was cold, I was like, well, dog, he's treating me like my actual father should have treated me, you know, because My actual father never got out and told me, hey, this is where I, you know, this is my old neighborhood, this is my old stomping ground. My actual father never did that with me. And I'm sitting here like, this guy is treating me like I am his actual son. And little did we know, in less than a year, he would pass away. And a little less than 10 years after that, his son would pass away. You know, so folks, be mindful of your health. Because, you know, after I got back from D.C., I went back. I had to go to the doctor to, you know, get my physical and everything. And they said my sugar was fine, my sodium was fine, everything was fine, but my blood pressure was a little high. And I had to follow up on this coming Tuesday, you know, to see, you know, to assess what to do from there. But my blood pressure was a little high, and I never really had a problem with high blood pressure, you know, growing up or even in my adult years. But it was a little high, and I've been checking my blood pressure and, you know, trying to get that, you know, mitigated and whatever. But folks, be mindful of your health. You know, no one knows when they're going to pass away, whether you're healthy or not, but just be mindful for your health. You want to live a good, productive life and whatever. So, and but enough of that. Folks, I'm thinking about changing the format of this program to include some sections in it. I've been watching the news lately, and I want to thank Pianki. I think Pianki's in the queue right now. I want to thank Pianki for reminding me of a certain person in Dalton, Illinois, named Tiffany Hinyard. I've been watching these videos of Tiffany Hinyard and their town, their town meetings and things like that. And, you know, I got a lot to say about what's going on in Dalton. First of all, how in the world this woman won with 82% of the vote is beyond me. It lets me know that people didn't really vet her like they should have. And this woman is, I mean, she was born in Cuckoo Banana Town. This woman is, I mean, you can see the corruption written all over her, but she just sits there and acts like, I ain't doing nothing wrong. I'm not doing anything wrong. Like I said, I want to change the format of the show. I'm not going to do it immediately, but eventually, you know, sometime in the future, I want to do two segments. One segment I want to do is stupid news. Stupid news. Let me pull this up. Because I saw this and I said, you know, this will be something to add to the show, let you all know what's going on in the world, you know. And some of this stuff, when you see it, you're like, wow, this is actually going on in the world today? No one can be that stupid. And you find out, yeah, people are this stupid. So let me pull this one up right quick just to give you, because I saw this on the New York Post. And this was posted on April 5th, 2024. And folks, let me tell you all something. When you see articles like this or read stories like this, you're like, you know, beam me up, Scotty. Please beam me up, you know, because there is very little intelligent life on the earth today. Common sense is becoming an endangered species. People with common sense, they're becoming an endangered species. And the lack of common sense with a lot of people just boggles the mind. But I pulled up this article a couple of weeks ago. And it's titled, Wearing Jeans is Bad for Earth. Study finds, and yes, even just once. And I'm sitting here like, no, this gotta be satire or something. It's gotta be satire. It says, though these bottoms are getting a bum rap. Boot cut, low rise, skinny or straight, jeans reign supreme as a stylish staple in most wardrobes worldwide. And before I go on with the article, jeans have always gotten a bad rap. You know, some people say, you know, you got some people in the religious community saying that it's a sin to wear blue jeans. You know, you shouldn't be wearing blue jeans. You know, for some reason, people have it out for blue jeans. And I don't understand what it is. You know, you can wear blue jeans and still look nice. I love wearing my jeans. You know, and for much of history, blue jeans have really gotten a bum rap. It's been like, you know, why are you all so hard on wearing blue jeans? It's an article of clothing, keeps you covered up. You know, I don't understand these people wearing these ripped jeans. And if you're a person who wears ripped jeans or whatever, I'm not trying to question your character. I just don't understand why you're going to wear a pair of ripped clothing and then pay skyrocketing prices for that piece of ripped clothing. I mean, I can buy a complete pair of unripped jeans much cheaper than for the ripped jeans. And I don't understand that. But anyway, I digress. Let me go on with the article. It says, for decades, denim designs have graced the dapper derriere likes of Marilyn Monroe, Princess Diana, Taylor Swift, and Kanye West. Where's my little, okay, there we go. It says, the haut timelessness of the togs notwithstanding, recent research from Guangdong University of Technology, I don't know where that is, sounds like it's from China or something. Let me check it out right quick. I don't know where that is. It's taking me to some crazy looking website. But it sounds like it's a Chinese university. It says, recent research from Guangdong University of Technology found that wearing a pair of fast fashion jeans just once creates a whopping 2.50 kilograms of carbon emissions. The environmental wear and tear of the pants is equivalent to driving 6.4 miles in an average gasoline-powered car. Are you serious? The study took jeans as an example to reveal the carbon footprint of fast fashion consumption and its additional climate impacts compared to traditional fashion. And basically what they're saying is that blue jeans, you know, people on average don't wear their blue jeans more than 4, 5, 6, maybe 7 times, and then they switch to another pair. And they're saying when you wear a new pair of blue jeans, it contributes to the carbon footprint or to your carbon footprint. And we all know that carbon is bad because it's, you know, producing, you know, global warming and all that craziness, you know. The study took jeans as an example to reveal the carbon footprint of fast fashion consumption and its additional climate impacts compared to traditional fashion, wrote the authors of the new report set for publishing in May 2024. Jeans production and cross-brand transportation contributed 91% of the carbon footprint of fast fashion consumption, added the experts. And I think they should put experts in quotation marks. Really. Let's continue. And they're not just pulling your leg. To determine the CO2 effect, scientists followed the life cycle of a pair of jeans that were quickly produced, shipped, worn, washed, and discarded after about 7 uses. I mean, what, they got cameras in the jeans or something? What, or they got private investigators following people who wear jeans? I'm just saying, you know, I don't know. The stages are all part of speedy sequences that most modern clothes follow owing to the increasingly buzzy fast fashion trend. I ain't know anything about no fast fashion until I started reading this article. The movement sees retailers such as Shein, Zara, Boohoo, and Forever 21 using an excess of resources and energy to crank out cutesy swag at accelerated rates. It's a hurried process to answer the growing demand of chronic shopaholics who want the latest and greatest looks at low cost, which a lot of jeans that people wear today are not really all that low cost, especially the ripped ones. However, making fast fashion finery emits ghastly amounts of greenhouse gases. Oh my goodness, the humanity, save the children, which cause global warming and climate change into the atmosphere. In fact, the study noted that the industry is projected to emit nearly, y'all check this out. Now, this is just from wearing blue jeans. To emit nearly 2.8 billion tons of greenhouse gas emissions annually by 2030. Now you all understand why I say, Scotty, beam me up. Please beam me up, Scotty. Traditional fashion, typically more pricey apparel made with high-quality materials and environmental sustainability in mind emits around 0.22 kilograms of CO2 per the findings. Fast fashion produces 11 times more of the pollution. Due to hasty manufacturing, international distribution via air travel. People, come on now. Oh, boy, I'm starting to get a headache. not physically, just figuratively. International distribution via air travel, repeated washes, and swift trashing. But analysts say there is hope for Mother Earth yet. Product service systems could slow the rapid production and consumption cycles of fast fashion and help move fashion to a circular system by providing recycling, secondhand, and rental services. Yeah, you knew some type of social issue would get in there. Pin the pros, suggesting companies ease up on spitting out junk and budgeted fashionistas turn to thrifting. Yep, social issue. Rocking previously worn garb is a shift fashion addict Lottie Lashley, 25, recently made after learning of the unenvironmental process her quickie clothes followed. And if I'm correct, if she's 25, she's a member of Generation Z, which has probably produced some of the most lunkheads you've ever seen in history. Rather than blowing around $120 a month with buzzy brands, the Londoner now shops with a much more eco-friendly eye. If I do buy stuff consciously, said Lashley, I need to know I'm going to wear them again and again. Wow. And you should see some of the comments. One person says, bad science. No one discards a pair of jeans after 7 uses. 7 years more like it, yeah. An utterly ridiculous assertion, 99.99% of people who buy or wear jeans do not throw them out after wearing them for 7 times. As with nearly all climate studies, an artificial threshold or cutoff point is used to manipulate data to a desired outcome. And I don't understand the thinking that goes in this. I think it might be some think tank or conglomeration of people that just sit around and make this stuff up. I mean, for real. Carbon dioxide is not a toxic pollutant. Carbon dioxide is necessary. Studies have shown that when you increase your carbon dioxide, and it doesn't have to be by much, it helps to create more plant life. Now, you all know what plant life gives off as a waste product. Oxygen is through the process of photosynthesis. The CO2 is a catalyst in photosynthesis, helps the plant to make its food, and when it gives off its waste product, that waste product is what we all breathe called oxygen. Now, for the last several decades, some crazy scientists got together and said, well, CO2, it's going to warm up the atmosphere. We're putting too much CO2 into the atmosphere. You got to stop driving your SUVs. Stop taking flights and kill all your cows, you know, stuff like that. While they themselves, you know, they don't even listen to their own words. They continue to fly in private jets and drive SUVs themselves and limousines and live in mansions, which put out more energy than the regular American does on their day-to-day and driving their car and whatever. And for some reason, someone looked at the planet of Venus and said, oh, Venus has a high CO2 atmosphere, and that could happen to the Earth if we keep the CO2 keeps rising on Earth. Well, first of all, Venus never had any life living on it. That's the first thing. And for those of you all who are not aware of, you know, climate science and everything and stuff like that, usually what causes the rise in temperatures around the world is not CO2. It's H2O. It's water vapor. Like them days you step outside and it just feels like the air is just so sticky. You know what's causing that? It's not carbon dioxide. It's hydrogen oxide, otherwise known as H2O, otherwise known as water. It's the amount of vapor in the air. But they want to keep us panicked. You know, those on the left, the liberal left, they want to keep us panicked about, you know, oh, we're destroying the earth and all this crazy mess and stuff like that. So now they're attacking blue jeans. And this is why I wanted to do a segment on this show called Stupid Stories. And I'm going to see if I can get that format to the point where I can add it to the show and everything. And I'll just read you all a stupid story, leave a link so you can go and see the stupid story yourself. Matter of fact, I didn't even leave a link to this one, but let me do this right quick and you all can check out that link yourselves. And yeah, the largest carbon footprints come from India and China. Yeah, and India and China are thumbing their noses at the rest of the world, saying we ain't buying by these carbon regulations or anything like that. We're gonna keep. I mean, I think in China, someone correct me if I'm wrong about that. They build so many coal plants every year, if I'm correct. And people are always talking about, oh, we got to reduce our coal because it's going to increase our carbon footprint. Tell that to China. Tell that to India. The top 10 worst cities in the world for carbon emissions aren't even in the USA. They're not even in the USA. Matter of fact, we reduce the carbon that we've put into the atmosphere. There used to be a time when I was a kid, we would drive from our house in Prince George's County, Maryland, to my grandmother in Northeast D.C. And it was about a 15-mile drive. And we would drive on an interstate called 295. And from 295, you could look over the Potomac River and see downtown Washington, D.C. You can see the Library of Congress. You can see the Capitol building. You can see the monument. But there were days where it was like you could hardly see the city because the amount of smog that was in the city. Now, when my wife and I took a trip to Washington, D.C., you know, just a few weeks ago, you don't see it that amount of smog anymore because, you know, they reduced their, you know, their carbon emissions and everything and stuff like that. But there are cities around the world who are like, you know, we ain't abiding by these carbon regulations. China and India are the major contributors of carbon in the atmosphere. But nobody's getting on them. This is why people need to be alert to what the news media is all about. And Alaskan says, wouldn't it be great to give each and every one of the climate activists a Darwin Award after they go and protest? Oh, yeah. Yeah, go protest in China about that. Yeah, go right ahead. They're not going to do it. I mean, blue jeans people, come on now. Come on. Be for real. Be for real, folks. And all this is to get you to adhere to their climate, to their climate shenanigans, their climate agenda. And all it's going to do is raise prices for the rest of us. Can you imagine them carbon taxing your blue jeans? Oh, we can only give you so much amount. If these carbon taxes are not enough for your blue jeans, you're going to have to pay a higher price. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but I wouldn't put it past our government to do that because they've shown themselves to be a bunch of fruit bats anyway. Yeah, that will reduce the carbon footprint. Oh, yeah. Go there and protest in China. Receive your little Darwin Award. Oh, yeah, that will reduce the carbon footprint immensely. But it's stories like this that I want to put on this show. And I know this show is called Black by Color Only, and I talk about, you know, the stuff that goes on in our black communities and everything and stuff like that. But, you know, I want to add a little something to it, too. Another aspect that I want to add to the show is the Sheila Jackson Lee Stupid Statement Award. This, I started thinking about adding this segment to the show a few days ago when I listened to Sheila Jackson Lee. You all know the congressman from, I think, Houston, Texas, the congresswoman who's been in office since the 90s. Who has to be, if there was a running for stupidest congressperson in the history of America, she would win by a landslide. And that's saying a lot because we got a lot of stupid congresspeople. But those of you all who don't know who Sheila Jackson Lee is, this is a woman that suggested we should give black names to hurricanes, so it could boost the self-esteem of our black children. This is a woman who said our Constitution is 400 years old. This is the woman who said when they landed a rover on Mars, she asked the question, said, I wonder if they're going to see the American flag that the astronauts left up there on Mars. And when people corrected her about it, she wants to sit there and talk about how black she is and everything. And she, you know, you're just correcting me because I'm a black woman. That's basically what she did, went into one of those type of diatribes. Now, here recently, she said the moon is made mostly of gas. Because, you know, we had the eclipse, I think it was Monday. Around here was a partial eclipse. I didn't see anything that spectacular. I didn't know you needed a special filter to be able to see the eclipse. All I was told was when the eclipse happens, don't look at the sun, you know. But I digress, you know. That's neither here nor there. But she said that the moon is mostly made of gas. And once again, someone corrected her. And then she went into her little diatribe about, you know, don't be correcting me. This is the same woman who during a town meeting several years ago, people are trying to get answers from her, and she's talking on her cell phone. Now, the existence of people like Sheila Jackson Lee in our Congress, it lets you know the intellectual temperature, so to speak, of the people that's around her. Because we can sit here and talk about how stupid Sheila Jackson Lee is, but no one has to be stupider than the people who keep voting her in every election cycle. This woman is 2 crumbs short of a biscuit. And she gets up there and she talks like she's all elegant and she knows what she's talking about. Oh, because I'm a congresswoman. You can't tell me anything because I'm a congresswoman. You little peons down there, you need to bow down to me with that bird nest on her head. I think too many eggs have been laid in that bird nest on her head. But I want to start a segment called the Sheila Jackson Lee Stupid Statement Award. And every time someone mentions a stupid statement, utters a stupid statement, I'll give them a Sheila Jackson Lee Stupid Statement Award. I had something like that on Facebook one time, and I got away from it or whatever, but it sounded like something I could add to this show. It's a segment I want to add to the show, the dumb article segment and the Stupid Statement Award. Those are two things I want to add to the show. But now I want to get back to probably the most corrupt mayor in the country today, if not ever, in Tiffany Henyard. Now, this is what you get when you are caught up in social issues such as skin color, gender, and you know, you just want to show your social issue. You want to show your adherence to social issues. This woman won 82% of the vote. I think it was 2 years ago when she was elected as mayor. 82% of the vote. This lets you know that people did not vet this woman. And I can tell you they didn't vet her because there's a mugshot of her from several years ago. I think it was 2016. She got a mugshot because she was breaking into people's cars. Now, if it were me, I wouldn't be saying that, oh, she's a proud black woman. She's a proud. I would vet her up one wall and down the other. And now she's in a little bit of trouble. I don't know why it's taking so long for the FBI to really, you know, investigate this woman. That they're trying to investigate some shenanigans that went on in Las Vegas last year and how much money they spent, where they got the money from, and also an allegation of one of her assistants being sexually assaulted by another. And all this woman has done, playing the race card is, it really is getting stale. It really is. It's tiresome. It's frustrating. And what I've noticed is if somebody is socially correct, I guess that's the term, socially correct, they're checking all the boxes off for socialism or whatever, you know, the FBI and the CIA, they're going to drag their feet in investigating these people. And especially if she's a proud black queen like Miss Henyard, because they don't want to give the impression that they're being racist. And she even gets up in one of her meetings and talks about how black she is. I'm a black woman, and you black people are coming against me. I'm a black woman. I'm a black woman, y'all. I'm a black woman. But just because you're black doesn't mean I have to look the other way when it comes to your shortcomings. And I was telling my wife, during this debacle with Tiffany Hinyard, I told my wife, I said, you know what? If they ever get Tiffany Hinyard off of the seat of mayor, or what is she? She's also a supervisor of a township. I forgot the name of the township, but, you know. But if they ever get rid of her, have her fired from her seat or whatever, those people are going to vote for the same person. Maybe even worse, because we've already seen it. I know how black people operate. I know how they operate. They're going to say, okay, Tiffany Hinyard, she's corrupt. We got to get rid of her. She's running our town into the ground, so let's get rid of her. Okay, you got rid of her. Who are you going to put in her place? Someone who is similar to Tiffany Hinyard or even worse? We've seen it already. And a few days later, as if to show that I'm right, there were four trustees that voted to have another corrupt mayor to do the investigation, one Lori Lightfoot. I said, now see, this is why I will not have any sympathy for the people in Dalton. You're going to get a corrupt mayor who became the first mayor not to be reelected since the 60s because she was so corrupt. You're going to have her come in and investigate Tiffany Hinyard. And here's the thing about Lori Lightfoot. Lori Lightfoot, she had conflict with some of her trustees. And she gets up there just like Tiffany Hinyard. Well, we're doing this, and our tourism has skyrocketed. No, it hasn't. So they got rid of her. And who did they put in her place? Brendan Johnson, who is probably twice as bad as Lori Lightfoot. But they want to bring Lori Lightfoot in to investigate Tiffany Hinyard. I said, and I told my wife, I said, you see what I'm talking about? You see what I'm talking about? Because, see, in the black communities, we care more about our skin color and civil rights than we do about doing the right thing or following the truth. People jump on me about that all the time. Oh, you should be sure. Well, it's the truth. That's all I'm about on this show. It's the truth. They're not going to try to, if the person is not black and liberal, oh, no, nah. If you're not black and liberal, far be it from us to vote for you, because that means you're a straight white male, you're a straight white Christian male, and you're a Republican, you're a conservative, and that would be even worse than us voting for one of our own who has shown herself to be corrupt. They're not going to vote for anyone who's white or conservative because, you know, conservatives are supposed to be these racist white men. And see, they don't have a lot to pull out of the pool. And Lord knows, don't let it be a black conservative person. Oh, you definitely ain't getting that vote. Oh, no. You're a traitor. You're a sellout. And I'm watching this stuff, and I say, this is why I have no sympathy for the people of Dalton. I have no sympathy for these folks. Because you're going to get a corrupt mayor who was kicked out of her office because of her corruption, by the voters of Chicago only for them to vote for someone who is worse than Lori Lightfoot. You're going to get Lori Lightfoot to come to your town and investigate Tiffany Hilliard. You are outside of your mind. If I had the provisions and I lived in Dalton, I'd be like, you know what? Nah, I'm moving out of this town. Because they see what one of their own is doing. One of their own who is a black liberal woman. Who has betrayed their trust. Has betrayed the town that she is supposed to be, that she is supposed to be supervising. And they're up there complaining about her, which they have every right to complain about her because she is just as corrupt as they come. But then you're going to request that another corrupted mayor come in and investigate her. Oh, because she's a lawyer. Oh, she may have been corrupt and everything, but she's still a beautiful black queen. This is crazy mess. And see, this is the reason why black communities will never get over the proverbial hump, because they do stupid stuff like this. And then they want to sit there and they want to cry and whine about how come the Republicans, how come the conservatives don't come to our neighborhoods and talk to us? That's the reason why. Because you don't want that. You don't even want to listen to them. And they let you have your way. And then you get all mad at them. How come they don't want to talk to us? Because they know they come to your community, they're going to get shouted down. They're going to get called all kinds of names. But you get mad at them. And you want to blame them for your shortcomings. But when it's one of your own that's doing you dirty. But common sense seems not to have a place in the minds of a lot of people in the black community. Now, if you're a black person, let me tell you all something. I know a lot of very intelligent, well-meaning black people. And I am not saying that black people are by nature stupid. I'm not saying that. Heck, I'm a black person myself. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying too many of us, we think the government is going to help us out while we just sit around and play video games and eat bonbons all day. I told my wife the other day, I said, you know, a lot of times when these politicians come to a black neighborhood or whatever, one of the first questions they ask them is, well, what are you going to do for the black community? I was like, if I was one of them folk, I'd be like, let me tell you all something. I'm not here just for the black community. I'm here for everybody. And I'm not going to do anything more special for the black community than I do for anyone else. Now, if you're so concerned about your black communities, why don't you ask yourselves, what are you going to do for your communities? Because you're sitting here, you let the government, You let these liberals come in and they give you all these promises and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to vote for him. Yeah. And nothing gets better. Look at Baltimore, 60 or 70 years. Who they vote for? Democrats. Look at how corrupt Baltimore is. Now, when I grew up in Washington, D.C., one of the things I didn't like about D.C. was how run down the place looked. Not all of D.C., but too much of D.C., the gunshots, the crime and everything. And I was like, man, I want to get out of D.C. But then one day, I took a trip to Baltimore. And Baltimore made D.C. look pristine by comparison. I was like, now, it made you want to go back to D.C. and say, you know what, D.C., I'm sorry. I thought y'all were the worst. Oh, no. And this was in the 80s when Baltimore, people were saying Baltimore was kind of decent. I've never known Baltimore to be kind of decent. Baltimore made D.C. look like, oh, my goodness. If you can think of the best looking community in the United States, that's what Baltimore made D.C. look like. Reston, Virginia, or Cary, North Carolina. And then they get up there and they want to talk about racism all the time. They always want to talk about racism. Oh, our black men are being gunned down because of racist cops and everything. 90% of the people who run Baltimore are black. Had a mayor up there who said, we should give room for the kids to, you know, loot and commit crimes and everything. And then they get mad when you say they're DEI hires. They get mad when you say that. That's like calling them the N-word. No, y'all the one that fostered that term. Y'all the ones that fostered that term, DEI. Y'all the ones that came up with that DEI mess, you know, hiring people to be a DEI consultant on your jobs and everything. How well is that doing on your jobs anyway? What is that doing? How has that improved your job? You're going to pay all this money for a person, and it's usually a black woman. Let me tell you all something. It's usually a black woman that they hire. There may be exceptions, but it's usually a black woman that they hire to be a DEI consultant on these jobs. How well has that improved the job's atmosphere? I started noticing that they've been firing these DEI hires in it because it's a waste of money. It's a waste of time and money. But that's the same thing going on in our governments. And places like Baltimore, about 90%, maybe a little bit higher than that, of that city is run by black folks. Go to their schools. The last I heard, not one kid was proficient in math for their age group. You got children in the seventh grade. In the seventh grade who can't do fourth grade math. English. Not one child is proficient, but they keep passing these children on. And see, here's the scary thing, people. This is why this needs to concern us. This is what's scary. These people, they keep getting by. They keep getting passed on. These kids, they go to college. They lower the standards for them to get into college. They graduate from college, and these are people who become your doctors, your lawyers, your law enforcement officials. Think about that. I remember, you know, hearing someone talking about, you know, people were talking about, you know, folks cheating, and, you know, someone wanted to make a statement, say, it ain't hurting nobody. It ain't hurting nobody. Yes, it is. If I'm a patient and you're talking about, you know, if you're a patient, I heard some noise at my door. It's my wife. But if you're talking about being my doctor and you're talking about, you know, you got an infection in your appendix. We're going to have to remove your appendix. I don't want you to be a student that cheated on your medical exam touching my appendix. But people look at it like, oh, we're just giving them a helping hand. No, you're not. But because they're black, you don't want to be seen as being racist, so you want to lower the standards for them. Let's see. Obama did nothing for the black community, and Biden is following in his footsteps. Oh, yeah, definitely. Matter of fact, I don't think Biden's running the country. I think it's still Obama. I digress. Trump was another story, and he actually did help the blacks, yeah. But you know what? Black people are so, they're so intent on... Black people just want to hear what's going on in the news. They get their information from the news, which I've explained several times on this show what the news media is all about. They all they're about is getting you to believe what they want you to believe. They're not giving you the information as it comes out. But black people, they listen to the news media. They listen to them, the those roaches on The View, Whoopi Goldberg and Sonny Hostin and Joy Behar and all the rest of them up there. They listen to them. And here you have a president that actually helped out the black community, but nobody wants to give him his props for that because he's been deemed a racist. Oh, did you hear him say that white supremacists are very fine people? Did you hear him say that Mexicans are nothing but rapists and murderers? Things Donald Trump did not say. Donald Trump never said any of those things. But people want to twist the words around. Oh, well, you know he's a racist. So when he says they're good and bad on both sides, he was especially talking about the white supremacists. When Donald Trump even emphasized, he said, I'm not talking about the white supremacists. I'm not talking about the Ku Klux Klan. Those people need to be condemned. But other than them, you got good. You got very fine people on both sides. That's what he said. But, of course, you know, once the media twists a story and a bunch of liberals get to believing it, you can show them the truth and they still ignore it. Lowest unemployment in the black community in recorded history? Oh, no. That was Obama. No, Obama didn't do jack. How come that didn't happen during the 8 years when Obama was in office? Come on, people. Come on. Let's be real here. How come that didn't happen when Obama was in office? And every time the Democrats, the liberals get caught up in their dirt, they always want to revert to it's the Republicans' fault. When Obamacare became a reality, people had warned people, said, no, do not do this. Do not do this. Obamacare is going to mess up our health care. They allowed it. It got passed. And what a lot of conservative pundits had said came true. And then they said, oh, well, Obama really wanted this to be better. But the Republicans, how did the Republicans mess it up? Tell me. You got to be specific. Tell me how. But see, that becomes a convenient escape route for a lot of people when they get caught up in their dirt because they think they're the good ones. We don't do anything wrong. So, you know, if something does come wrong and it involves us, it's really the Republicans' fault. It's the conservatives. It's Donald Trump. People blaming Donald Trump. They're blaming him. I think I heard some of them blaming him for the earthquake that happened a couple of weeks ago. It's Donald Trump's fault. Every time a disaster happens, oh, it's Donald Trump's fault. Everything bad that happens is Donald Trump's fault. And people keep talking about the MAGA Republicans, Tell me, what is so bad about the MAGA Republicans? What's wrong with Make America Great Again? What is so? Why does that trigger people so much when they hear MAGA or they see someone wearing a Make America Great Again hat on the street that they want to snatch it and beat the person up? You don't see people doing that with Hope and Change or I'm With Her or Let's Go Sleepy Joe. I just made that last one up. You don't see people doing, but oh, that MAGA. Oh, MAGA. But you all get caught up in your dirt. You always got something to cover your backs. Oh, it's the Republicans' fault. And your little sycophants who are poisoned by the news from the mainstream media, they just fall right in line. All right, folks, I'm at the ending of my first hour. I am going to, those of you all who are in the queue, please stay in the queue. Please do. I know I can get a little talkative. Please stay in the queue. But I'm going to go ahead and do these advertisements. And when I'm finished, I should be back with the phones. You are listening to Black by Color only on CNM Radio.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change? Why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Show, I just had a little more difficulty with Skype again. For some reason, Skype keeps switching my microphone off. I don't understand why they do that. You know, I'm glad you all were able to hear, but I want to be able to hear, you know, the interactions and everything as well. And I don't know why Skype keeps doing that, you know, but anyway. Once again, if you'd like to call into the number, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you know, before I left, I was talking about, you know, the condition of this country where it comes to conservatives and liberals and things of that sort. And certain powers that be, you know, the news media and everything like that, and how they're working together in tandem to mess up our country. You all, excuse me, you all, I'm just trying to get something together here. I'm sorry. But anyway, you know, like I said, this is the first show I've done in a little more than a month now. And, you know, I was kind of chomping at the bit today to get a lot of stuff off of my heart and everything. And in the future, you know, I'm not saying when, but I want to add two segments, the Sheila Jackson Lee Stupid Statement Award and the dumb, I don't know if I'm going to do it weekly with the dumb article. Maybe I'll do it dumb article of the week or dumb article of the month, something like that, you know, but those are two segments I want to add to the program. You know, add a little spice to the program, whatever. But anyway, I think you all know what time it is. Means that is a fruit bag. That means that means I'm about to go to the phones. And if you are a person who wants to come in and just disrupt the program with ad hominem attacks and character assassinations and gaslighting and things of that sort, excessive profanity, and just wanting to come in and just create a whole cataclysm of the show, I'm going to warn you right now, you had best hang up or I will be glad to do it for you, okay? Once again, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Show some respect when you come on this program. Now, having said all that, let me get my first caller, as if I didn't know who this is.
This
Hello,
is
caller.
Doing,
what's up, man? What's up?
Where you been?
It's been a while. Oh, dude, hey, last month has been... March has been crazy, from looking after my health and, you know, having the tragedy that happened in my family with my stepbrother. I said, you know what, I need to step back, catch my breath, get a little rest, and I'll take it all up again in April. So hopefully nothing like that happens again, but, you know, I'm glad to be back.
Well, it's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, for real.
You know, you make some good commentary. People get pissed off at me because I make reference, just like they do you. But I tell them, I say, if this wasn't happening, you couldn't talk about it.
Yeah.
We didn't make it happen. We just observe it, recognize it, and make reference to it. It's happening.
That's right.
And first, I want to say this about white police officers. You got some dumbass white police officers that still violating the civil rights of blacks and also whites, too. And they to be fired. The department needs to be sued, and they need to be sued civilly. Go after their house, their boat. The shotgun, chewing tobacco, go after what they have. Because they're no damn good. And I can... You know, I was talking to a friend of mine. We was talking about things in St. Louis area way back when. A lot of racial events. And where we grew up, where I grew up, we didn't experience that. And white society in its past, not all, talked about people like Cardinal Ritter, who segregated the Catholic schools, not segregated, integrated the Catholic school system in St. Louis. And he told white Catholics, if you don't like it, then I will see that you're excommunicated. You know, Catholics don't like to be excommunicated because that's the meal ticket to heaven.
Yeah.
But the things that went on was a dumb hold back blacks from having access just to be able to contribute to the betterment of the United States. And see, today we're suffering from that because that element of the population was not able to develop, and therefore, even today, not able to pass on and maintain the greatness of this nation. Now you've got foreigners coming in whose blood is thicker than water and their allegiance to the United States. Now look at Joe Biden and the reckless stuff that he's doing, trying to appease blacks, whereas back in the past, he was not that way. So... You know, we was talking about sometimes. I remember when I went to Missouri Pacific Railroad with some older black males in the neighborhood to put in an application for a job. And Jerry, who ended up marrying with Missouri Pacific, and he was able to work and retire for them. But I remember after walking that great distance to get to their McCausland around Highway 44. I can't think of the other one, but that's where they have a rail yard. And they was in there filling an application. I asked the white guy, I said, could I have an application too? He asked me, he said, well, have you ever bumped your leg? I said, yes. Oh, I said, yes. Calcium deposit on those spots, which would disqualify you for this work here. I didn't know no better. But that was an act of racism at that time. And it did happen, but we kept moving forward. But you mentioned about Lori Lightfoot and this other lady. That's an embarrassing, man. It's so much embarrassing. And they're coming from black females. These black females, stars like to use the adjective Democratic. They are just terrible.
Yeah.
It's
sad, man.
And we know the names from your Fannies on down to your James and your Kim Foxes and these prosecutors. How do they get into one particular line of profession? I don't know. But they are terrible.
Leave your DEI.
You talk about the schools. Absolutely. You talk about the schools. It is a shame that these children are not being educated in the things that is going to be of great need. And, you know, one of my favorite sources of seeing how progress goes along, the top 100 black businesses, and they are doing very well, and especially in the automobile industry where you can count the first 20 and about six of them are in the automobile industry. But at the same time, you got black populations supporting the likes of, recommended by James Clyburn, administration, and this new ideology that we need to get rid of, under pretense that it's contributing some falsity about global heating. It's really ridiculous. Earth is going to get burnt up anyway.
And the thing about it, too.
The temperature is all rising. To the ocean. You know, the Tropic of Cancer is inching by centimeters up north, and with it is carrying warm waters. The conveyor system that work its way up north and is cool down to the bottom of the ocean and form cool water currents is beginning to slow down. And when it slows down, the ocean waters slow up, travels. And quite naturally, it's going to give off heat. I don't know what you're going to do about this. I don't think there's anything you can do about it. It's just going to happen.
You can't control it. I mean, that's
the, planet
and that's
is
the
going,
thing about it.
The
planet they can't control
is going
it.
To burn up because of that big old bright ball up there in the sky. As it depletes its helium, it's going to be replaced. Diameter of the sun is going to expand because its core is no longer a strong gravitational pull to hold it together. Outer circumference is going to encapsulate Mars, and when it gets that close to Earth, the temperature on Earth is going to rise, and either human beings are going to die or they're going to have to transfigure into something else that we would be completely unrecognizable today. Because if the temperature get up around 108 degrees, human beings can't stand that.
Yeah.
Yeah. 27.4 is, you know, a pretty idea, but you start getting up to 98, 99, 100, 105, start dying.
Yeah.
Yes. When they show the pictures of Martians or aliens, they look different. They look strange. Is it because they come from a different, they evolved under. They have big ears. They may be short because they come from a planet that have greater gravitational a pool to stunt the upward growth? Back to science. Ain't nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
It's about how clear the air was when you went in. Well, just let it be a volcano eruption.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ashes and everything else up into the atmosphere and get up into the stratosphere. There's nothing you can do about it. What are you going to do? Take a Hoover vacuum and vacuum the sky?
I mean, really. And a volcano.
So all
a
this
volcano
is a money ploy. All this is a money ploy, especially amongst blacks, that is being used.
Yeah.
For destroying industries, whether it's in the automobile sector, where you find a lot of young STEM graduates. What? Lose their job like they have in the oil industry. Now what you going to do? They don't went to school,
yeah,
study hard, took on subjects other than bad job. But population in degrees like psychology and philosophy and it don't pay no money.
Yeah, it doesn't.
You have a family, get involved in the consumer the things that you see. And people are not aware of, like you made mention of Sheila Jackson Lee.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, for real.
Hillary's been Democrat for over 70, close to 75 years.
Well,
years. Vincent, when you start looking for a heartbeat of a community society, one heartbeat that you can take the measurements of is your public school.
Yep.
When your public schools in a major city of St. Louis, is down less than 17,000.
Good gracious.
Something is wrong.
Yeah, something is really wrong.
Unless all these black people is rich enough or share wealth well to do where they can send their child to a private school. It's about how poor blacks are. How their medium income is right around $34,000, $35,000 a year.
Mhm.
Then you got people saying that Donald Trump paying taxes.
I mean, for real.
10% of the top 50% of the people that pay taxes in the United States pay about 40% of the income.
Yeah.
Or 40% of the taxes. They already overtaxed.
Yeah, exactly.
If you wanted to get back like it was back in the 20s and that when you made you was paying 90% of the taxes.
But that's what they want to push us into. They want to push us back. You know, they just want to push us back into that, and they want to make it, you know, like it's the rich against the poor, and you know, but all the while they're sneaking up on the poor and they're hitting them with some stuff too, you know. And then next thing you know, we're like, oh, wait a minute, I didn't know this was happening. But by the time that happens, you know, it'll be too late then, you know, it'll be too late to do anything about it, you know. And people just don't see it like that, you know. That's why it becomes convenient to criticize a Donald Trump or any of the rich folks, you know. You know, we can make them out to be a scapegoat while all the while we're trying to slip our own little agenda in while nobody is looking. We got everybody fighting and going back and forth with one another, and we just slip our little agenda in, and when we do that, boom, it's too late then. So let me
Go ahead.
I got two more callers in the queue. I'm going to try to bring this next one in. Let's see. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey,
I got a warehouse full of Darwin Awards. We want to start sending people to China.
Yeah, we can just choose somebody and pay their pay a one-way ticket for them to go there, and you can protest about the climate change over there.
Yeah.
Over there.
Hey, yeah,
over
there. That's my Alaskan friend. He's a real good guy, so treat him nice.
Hey, Bjorky, how the hell are you?
Hanging in here, man.
How are you doing? Well, I'm just kind of sitting back here finally, after about a year and a half of noticing the show coming on, but I notice it about 2 hours after it's over, you know, I finally was able to make it. And
appreciate it.
You know, I mean, you come on at a weird time for me in Alaska here. You come on at about, let's see, you came on 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm usually out doing something. And not on my computer, but today I took the day off. So here I am.
Oh, okay. Okay,
and,
I appreciate you being on the show.
Been wondering who this is and what's going on and everything, because, you know, I've known Robert for a long time, and Bing, who helped start this network, God, for, you know, I can't remember when. And I was just trying to figure out who some of the new guys on the block are.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm kind of here, and you know, there was a comment I made in there when you said you wanted to do a segment on stupid news, and all I could say to that was, all you got to do is turn on the TV, you know,
well,
and you get all your stupid news.
But sometimes when I'll come across an article and it just makes me shake my head like, you got to be kidding me. And that blue jeans thing, that, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. You know, it amazes me how and why people will pay $10 a hole more on a pair of jeans that is holy. You know, and they're brand new. Usually, I mean, I remember from the time I was a kid until now, you know, I used to wait for my holes to get in my jean.
I tell you.
And then when they did, you know, Mom always patched the son of bitches up.
Yeah.
You know. And I hated those iron-on patches.
Oh, yeah. I remember those. Almost felt like you were sitting on cardboard or something.
Yeah. Especially, you know, when she first puts them on there, they're as hard as a rock, you know. And if it did, and of course, all your holes on your jeans always came at your knees, so, you know.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's why we came out.
I got a Louisiana voter registration application. I'm glad I live in this state. And at the very top, it says, United States of America. You can check either yes or no. It says, will you be 18 years of age on or before election day? Then it reveals news to you. It says, if you check no in response to either of these questions, do not complete this form. You are not eligible to vote at this time.
Wow, really?
Same thing.
Hmm.
Huh? Why come other states can't do the same thing? You come down to 47, it says your race, which is optional. It says white, black, Asian, Hispanic, American, Indian, and other. Well, I amended my voter's registration, and I removed black. Why did you do that, Bianchi? Because federal judges use that designation to create data to come up with these asinine schemes of creating all black voting districts.
That's true. That's true. Glad you mentioned that.
So I checked others. I wanted to put U.S. citizen, but the lady said, you got to do other. We just don't have no category U.S. citizen. Okay, I'm doing other. But that's what people should do in order to take away the ammunition that these idiots have. And y'all know I'm like you, Vincent. I talk about the things that blacks do and shouldn't be doing,
yeah,
and the things that they do good.
Yeah.
Put all blacks in one category.
But here's the thing about
only
that, though.
Only supposed to vote for one group.
Here's the thing about that, though. Too many of us, we'll still check all black, you know, because we're so caught up in our skin color and everything. I'm black. You know, and everything. And there's too many of us who just go ahead and check black, you know. But, you know, folks with common sense like yourself, you'll be like, nah. But I'm going to check other, you know. And now that I think about it, I'm like, yeah, every time I see an application or something like that, I'm checking other. You know, I'm turning in my black card.
Yeah.
But,
well, they should have if they're going by color, they should have red, white, and blue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you know, the white thing, you know, they'll be like, no, we don't want no white people. You know how some people will be. You know, that'll trigger them. Oh, why you gotta put white? You can't put black. You know, let me get this other. Let me get this last caller in. I think I know who this is. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. Hello, caller.
All right, man. I see you done threw me.
I knew it.
Hail, the gang's all here. Yeah, I know. Hail, the gang's all here. All right, but
I
look at that, man.
I tried to get on Amtrak, and I'm on the Amtrak no ride list because I'm hanging out with Sart.
That's what I'm saying, man. And I think Vincent is just trying to throw me off, man, with his time change. I am so used to looking at you at 5. I finally realized, wait a minute, he's on at 7 on Saturday Eastern time now. So now I'd have finally caught up with you, with your behind, man. And I'm just letting you know, you stuck with me now. I'm going to be doubling you from here on out.
Yeah, I appreciate it. But, you know, the show started a little later today because I was having some problem with my Skype and everything. So that's why the show started. I started the show at 6
o'clock. Oh, so you're trying to fool me again. So I just had to get you by serendipity. See, you still, man. All right. I get it. I'm just, you're going to be sneaky. So I'll just keep monitoring the entire spectrum.
Yeah.
All right, but look here, man. I got good news and bad news report. And the bad news, that's good bad news first, because the bad news is that the situation is getting more dire all the time since I last spoke with you. And you know it's getting more dire in many respects. And that's god-awful because these people who are now governing us have become more fanatical, lunatic, and demented than ever because they're getting desperate.
Yeah.
But the good news is that more of us are more aware and woke in the right way. And that is a good thing. So, you know, you got to take the good with the bad with the good. But, hey, man, I think it's now the potential is there to really let things work. People are awake. They know what Donald Trump actually is. And, look, I've been telling people, Donald Trump is not going to save the United States on his own. He can't.
That's right.
No one person can. But what Donald Trump can do and had started to do in his last presidency is to put a big boulder in the stream
of insane, lunatic, demented governance that we've been under for at least the last, since 1994, or maybe earlier.
Yeah.
That maybe with George W. Bush. The stream of insanity we've been, that's been steadily increasing ever since. He's a boulder to slow it down. If we get the boulder slowed down, we can start, the stream slow down, we can start building the dam. And that's what I think Donald Trump represents.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I tell people. He's not going to do it by himself, and a lot of people, they kind of look at him as a savior or something like that. But it takes all of us working together, which, see, this is the reason why I would rather have had him do two terms consecutively, because we know what we're going to get with Donald Trump. And, by it having a gap with Joe Biden in here, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong or something like that, but I'm kind of wondering, when Donald Trump because he can only run one more time, and when his 4 years is up, who's going to replace him?
That's why his VP pick is so important. It's really vital in this case. Not only because of his age, although I think Donald Trump is robust enough to last out 4 years. I do, but you never know. You cannot predict such. He can go in an accident. Who knows? That's why his VP pick is so vital. He's got to pick a good one. He's got to pick one who can carry out his legacy. If he does that, I wouldn't be concerned if, God forbid, something did happen to him. Insofar as his agenda being able to carry it out, if he can carry out somebody who will actually institute his agenda. So it isn't critical that he makes not just a political VP pick, but one who can actually competently carry out the vision he has for the country on which the voters will elect him. That is critical.
Yeah.
It can't be a choice like Biden made with Kamala Harris, with the most abysmally moronic individual to ever infest the White House. Honest to God.
Yeah,
Biden is the most corrupt and senile, but she's the most abysmally moronic to ever sit in the vice presidency.
Yeah.
He can't do nothing like that. Can't just be for politics. It's all got to be a policy as well.
That's right. That's right. And like I said, I'm a little nervous about this election this year. I'm wondering what's in the pipe, because we know about 2020, what happened that year, and it gets me when people call folks like us election deniers, when we listen to these people for 4 years bellyache about Russian collusion and everything, and they did the same thing, but they don't see anything wrong with that. But when you say that the election was stolen in 2020, you're an election denier, almost like we've committed a crime or something, But the thing about it is, we didn't riot, we didn't tear down businesses and throw trash cans at people's windows and set businesses on fire. Although they're trying to make January 6th to make up for that, which January 6th, that's a farce. I've seen too many documentaries on January 6th to realize that really was a farce. It wasn't a riot or anything like that. But they try to make it like, see, y'all did the same thing too. No, we didn't.
Well, I was about to say, speaking of election denial, I got another little tidbit of intelligence for you. And that is that the Georgia State Election Board is now admitted, this is the Georgia State Election Board now, not conspiracy theorists, but the Georgia State Election Board is admitted to violation of election law in 2020 election. They admitted this by saying that they are convening a May 7th State Election Board meeting, and they're going to discuss an investigative report called State Elections Board 2023 Report Number 025. And it's going to detail errors that were found in both the hand count and the machine count from the 2020 presidential election in Fulton County. Now, that's on the agenda for a May 7th State Election Board meeting. And they found violations in both the hand count, hand audit, and machine count. And this is what an investigator, a citizen investigator, is now telling everybody. He's got a letter from the board. He showed us what showed people what the letter is, and it's going to be on the agenda. So more and more information keeps coming out that the election in Georgia, particularly centered around Fulton County, was funky as hell. And Donald Trump had every single justification in the world to think something was wrong in the petition government, like any citizen has, to say nothing in the president of the United States. His government, or rather a government, the government of Georgia, a parallel federalist sovereign entity separate from the presidency of the United States, over which Donald Trump has no direct control, has any other citizen to petition him for a redress of a grievance, called up Raffensperger, called up Kemp, told him, hey, there's something funky about this election. You guys got the authority to look at it. You ought to look at it. Here's why. He detailed all the reasons why. And he said, I'm sure if you do that, you'll be able to find me after conducting a legit investigation. You will be able to find I won the election by more than 11,779 votes. Now, I know I'm paraphrasing. That's essentially what he meant to say. He didn't tell me you had to do anything illegal to find the votes. He said you'd find the votes with a legit investigation after I detailed all these things in the phone call. You go look at the transcript and see, I don't know, about 8 or 9, 10 different reasons he said something was wrong with the election in Georgia. And you go on an investigation, you will find these votes, and you'll see that I was actually the victor. It's clear as a bell that was what was meant in the transcript. There's no way you could possibly say, A, he didn't believe it, which was this is why that charged him with a RICO fraud, or B, he was improperly importuning state officials to do something illegitimate or illegal. That's why, by the way, that judge dropped those charges with regard to that aspect of their case.
Yep.
I'm just saying, man. You know, the information is coming out. They're not going to be able to call us election deniers much longer.
Yeah. But do you think that maybe them finding out all this? Uh-oh, what happened to? Did he just drop like that? Well, The thing I want to know is it really too late? Okay, he's back on. Oh, glad to have you back, Sarge. The thing I want to ask you though is, do you feel like it's too late for them to actually do anything about this? Because it's almost like people have just settled into, you know, okay, this is the norm right now, and you know, nothing's really going to be done about it, because that's the thing I see about what's going on with a lot of things. You know, people say, oh, okay, we found them, we caught them, we got them, but then nothing is done about it. Nobody gets prosecuted, well, nobody gets convicted or anything like that. You know, that's one of the things that really frustrates
me. They're not going to put Donald Trump in the presidency. But as you look around the country and look at Louisiana, how they're putting things in place, like having an annual purge of the voters' rolls, that's a damn good thing. And you got some members of the Louisiana legislature that's against that. But when you have things like that in place, when you do things to remove any lecture being involved in the voting process, when you make statements like votes are counted, were cast, and on the same night, as far as the election is concerned, that there is a good thing. And then, of course, a further investigation will discover people who done some impropriety things, and they need to be punished with severe.
Oh, did I lose Bianchi?
Yeah, I can't hear him. I don't know what happened. I can't hear him. But he was right to say that we can't relitigate the case with the eye to putting Biden in the White House at this late date. I mean, Trump back in the White House at this late date. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking to show what was wrong with this election so the pattern does not get repeated in the future. We want to get him off the hook for these spurious charges against him in Fulton County. I mean, they have absolutely no validity whatsoever. That is clear by now, to say nothing of the corruption and the malfeasance involved in the prosecutor's office there. I mean, the judge talking about her odor of mendacity. Yeah, in other words, she's a liar. This whole thing is spurious and false. You know what I mean? The whole thing is, the whole prosecution is. And now we have objective evidence to show why it is. I just think we got to just say it. I mean, like this fool woman getting on the stand and saying, I'm not on trial here. Trump's a threat to democracy. No, you are, you pink robe, you pink dress tyrant. You are. You're the threat to democracy. But like I said, they project onto others everything they do. Joe Biden just the other day is up there talking about, Trump is the greatest threat to democracy. He is. He's the one up here assuming the dictatorial powers of the legislature by forgiving student loans, even after two Supreme Court decisions telling he can't do it.
That's right.
He's proceeding to do it anyway. Sounds like a dictator to me. And he's done that in so many other things. Like I said, they project onto others their sins. They do it all the time. It is their stock and trade.
And you hear, I don't know who it was that was saying, you know, if Donald Trump gets elected, this is what he's going to do. He's gonna weaponize the government and everything and stuff like he's going to weaponize this and weaponize that. I'm like, you all are already doing it, you know. I said, you all are already doing it yourselves. I was listening to them, Kathleen Hinn on The View. And they over there talking about, well, with Joe Biden, it's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. I'm like, here you all talking about, you know, Joe Biden, you know, oh, he can't do anything right, he can't do anything wrong. Y'all the very ones that said that about Trump. You know, I mean, come on now, be for real. it just makes me shake my head at the comments of some of these people. Maybe that I should put that on as the.
Think about it. Ben still been squawking about Joe Biden's gonna put everybody in that term because what are they doing with the January 6th hostages? People who are literally in jail for months for wandering aimlessly around the corridors of the Capitol building and taking selfies. They are literally been charged and they've been sitting in jail languishing for months. And this is the extent of the crime.
Well, can't even get in contact with the lawyer.
And in most cases, in most cases, it wasn't even a crime. They were relying upon the direction of uniformed Capitol Police officers waving them into the building where they then wandered around aimlessly and took selfies in the Capitol building after relying on the directions of uniformed Capitol Hill police officers.
Well, they weren't.
They're dropping off, Pionk. You can't hear you.
Yeah, he dropped off again.
Yeah, well, until he comes back, I mean, just think about that. That's called entrapment by estoppel. I don't know how they got away with this.
They
just got away with it.
But they just it's an agenda. They got an agenda. That just lets you know right there.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you need to know. They were determined to get these people to bring the iron fist of the federal government down and say, thou shalt not protest an illegitimate stolen election, lest thou be silenced and liquidated.
Yeah.
That was the message
they sent. They can't even see their own lawyers. The lawyers, their own lawyers can't even come in and talk to them. I'm like, y'all got to be kidding me. And y'all don't
Soviet
see this.
Stuff, man.
You can see this.
this is Soviet stuff that they're doing.
Yeah.
It's all the way to put it.
It
is literally Soviet. I mean, the federal government is acting just like the Soviet Union. They had show trials and with predetermined outcomes like they had in New York with that Judge Enjeron and the teacher James bragging about it, that the outcome was predetermined before he even set foot in the courtroom. I mean, he's
right.
Left this man, and they are doing, and then after doing all the little tyrannical tricks, they accuse you of doing exactly what they themselves are doing. They accuse you of it.
Yep.
They are brazen. They are the most brazen bunch of political operatives I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, yeah, and it's right there in the open. They're not even trying to be sly with it anymore. It's right there in the open. But you know, they know that the people who support them, they're not going to notice anything. You know, or they're
you
just
get away with it.
Right,
you just stop,
can't you?
Yeah, me now.
Say it again.
Go ahead, boss. We can hear you.
You know, and you talk about riots. In 2016, it was a riot because Donald Trump got elected. Then, of course, the riots that came on with Trayvon Martin and George Floyd and the looting and the burning. These people, I'm talking about blacks, doing all that rioting and burning and destruction, they created their own food desert. About a supermarket's move, and then now all the carjacking. Look at your insurance, your automobile insurance rates. They have skyrocketed.
Yep.
Because of those type of actions and carrying on and behavior. Nobody says nothing about that.
And let's not forget that the Democrats bailed them all out.
Yeah, exactly.
Kamala Harris told him to keep on doing it. Remember?
Must not stop, she said. She didn't just say, she said that they must keep doing it.
And then she cackled about it.
Like she always does.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and the thing that is so frustrating, you know, like I said, and I hate to sound like I'm repeating myself, the thing that is so frustrating about it is that you can see the it is right there on the surface. I mean, you can skim it off the top of the pond. And it's like people are not it's like they're just turning a blind eye to it, you know. And see, this is why I don't like politics, because it is, hey, choose your side, and whatever the other side does, just ignore what they're, you know, just stay with, you know, no matter if the other side is telling the truth or not, just ignore the truth, stick with your side.
Amen. Another thing I wanted to talk to you about too, Vince, and I think that this definitely needs to be spoken upon, and that is the passing Orenthal James symptoms, one of the greatest running backs in the history of the NFL, and the most curious Shakespearean-level tragedy drama ever in American cultural life. But even more than the sensational trial, even more than the ruckus stirred up over it, is the often not remarked upon fact that the O.J. Simpson trial combined with Rodney King was the beginning of modern wokeism and modern woke identity politics. Because you had the intersection of the historical injustices of the United States with this sudden desire to all of a sudden release people of accountability based upon that intersection. And that's where the origin started. Before the Rodney King case, you were capable, it was possible and acceptable to use the word N-I-G-G-R in context, provided it was unintelligible. Like, say you're quoting something from Mark Twain, or you were reporting the use of the word as a slur or something like that. After that, it became the word that thou shalt not speak any longer. It is forbidden for you to speak it, unless, of course, you belong to a certain privileged caste with the authority to speak it, and it will be decided on a conditional basis, not on an objective basis. And that was the beginning of it. And now the apotheosis of wokeism is George Floyd. After George Floyd, it was fully mature. Wokeism became awake. And wokeism became a religion.
Yeah. And I was...
But it started with O.J., Vince. It started with O.J.
But did you see the one of the jurors? See, this is the thing that got me. And I heard this from other people. I was like, man, get out of here with this. But I actually saw a video of one of the jurors saying the reason why they O.J. Simpson was for retaliation for what happened to Rodney King.
Yes, the juror's name is Bess. She was interviewed in an excellent documentary. I cannot recommend it more highly if you want to understand much of maybe what you didn't know about the O.J. trial and all the background circumstances around it. And ironically, it was done by a entity that I usually disdain, that's ESPN. But it is remarkably balanced. It is remarkably objective. It is comprehensive. It is thorough. It has footage that you've never seen, witnesses connected to the incident that you probably were not even aware of, testifying on details that many people are not aware of or don't know anything about. And if you have 7 hours to devote to the subject, because it's a 7-hour documentary, it's 7 parts, it's worth the watching. It's called O.J. Made in America. It is excellent. And in that documentary, they interviewed two of the witnesses who said pretty much what Bess said. I can't remember what the other one's name was, but the one that you referred to was named Bess. And the other one, they also said, she said the same thing. It was payback for Rodney King, and that's why they did what they did.
Yeah.
That's why they reached the verdict they reached.
Now, me, I still don't. I'm still on the fence about what happened with that case. O.J. Simpson was a when I was a kid, you know, he was like a childhood hero of mine and whatever. But I'm still on the fence about whatever happened with that case. I don't want to believe that O.J. Simpson did it. But then again, you see some of the evidence, you're like, but whatever the case is now, I guess O.J. might be serving his judgment for whatever happened, and everything. I'm not even going to go there. But
Look, I'm willing to entertain any number of theories about the case that are credible, because after all, no matter how strong the circumstantial case against O.J. Simpson was, and it was very strong, it was still circumstantial. So, I mean, it's always possible in a circumstantial case that there could have been other theories of what actually occurred. So I'm all open to that idea. The problem I have with it, though, is not that people offer rational alternatives to what they believe happened. It's just that they demand that you accept their version of events. It's like a demand. It's not saying, well, here, I'm putting this forward for your consideration. Why don't you consider it? No. It's like, if you don't believe it, you're a racist. Something like that. And that's the problem I have with it. Not the fact that it couldn't have happened another way, because certainly it could have. But I think the evidence, even if you exclude the evidence that was in controversy and the evidence that was impeached, like Mark Furman's testimony, if you exclude that, which you have to do if it's credibly impeached on the witness stand, like chain of custody not being followed, verification, like the collection of the evidence of the crime scene, things like that, okay. You're going to have to kind of, because it's questionable, what remains that is pretty much uncontroverted was more than enough to establish his guilt.
And you know, with the Mark Furman thing, you know, I mean, it was O.J. who was on trial, but it turned out Mark Furman was the one that paid the price for that trial. Not saying that Mark Furman was, you know, just this admirable human being or whatever, but it just seemed like, you know, he was the one that had to pay the price, you know.
No, but here's what you got to say about Mark Furman, though. Mark Furman, from a police procedural standpoint, did everything right that night from police procedural standpoint of what you're supposed to do to secure the crime scene and make sure the evidence is safeguarded. He tried to warn Van Adder and Van Adder's team about things they were doing that was improper that could lead to trouble, and they didn't pay him any attention because he wasn't the lead detective on the case.
Yeah.
And it turned out later, they'd done what he had warned them to do, they wouldn't have had those controversies later.
That's right.
See, here's what they impeached him on. Here's what they impeached him on his testimony on. He wrote a screenplay, and in the screenplay, he used the word N-I-G-G-R. use the word repeatedly because it was a screenplay. Like you see many screenplays where the word is used. Okay, and then they had asked them, have you ever used that word? And, you know, and maybe he was thinking if you ever use it as an insult or an epithet or something like that. And he could say, okay, I haven't. But then when they were able to point to a screenplay that he used it in a screenplay, then he said, uh-oh, I'd walk myself in a perjury trap, so I better not say anything else. So therefore, then he got his testimony impeached.
Yeah.
But it was about a screenplay. He wasn't about him using that word in reference to a suspect or addressing somebody directly. It's somebody put in a screenplay.
And it just took everybody's mind off of, you know, what the trial was really all about, in my opinion, you know. And I was like, you know, and for a while, I was actually demonizing Mark Furman. And, you know, I would see him on certain shows like with Sean Hannity. I'm like, what's Sean Hannity doing with Mark Furman on his show? You know, but then a lot of it seemed like about 20 years after the case was over, all this little evidence starts leaking out, and you start listening to things, and you're like, wait a minute, maybe this guy wasn't the bad guy that we made him out to be.
I tell you, from a standpoint of competence, Mark Furman was a pretty good police officer and a pretty good investigator.
Yeah.
With somebody who knew what he was doing and knew how to do things. He knew how to do it, and he did his job. As far as doing his job, remember, he was called to that domestic violence incident where he actually came at him. OJ was holding a baseball bat and came at Mark Furman with the baseball bat. Mark Furman probably could have made a case for shooting him, and he didn't shoot him. And you know, you don't want to do that, and then O.J. relented and put it down. I'm not saying he attacked him with the baseball bat. He was holding it in a threatening manner. And Furman told him to put it down, he put it down. But I'm just saying that he had responded at first domestic incident where Nicole was complaining to him about what he'd done to her. So that had to be vividly in his mind as well.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Definitely. You know, so, and you know, and like you said, you find out that this guy wasn't really the bad guy that they made him out to be, but in the court of public opinion, justice was already served. So they every time you hear the name Mark Furman now, you know, it's like, that's that racist guy.
Oh, that's a bad guy. He's a bad guy. You don't give him any credibility. No. He used the word N-I-G-G-R. N-I-G-G-E-R.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You can't afford him any credibility whatsoever. Oh, no. That's way liberals are. They're so categorical about some things. And in other things, everything is nuanced. You have to understand. You know, they're doing it because of a history of blah, 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 blah. You can't just say everything is black and white.
Yeah.
But when they got their selective targets, then that's the only way they want to look at it in terms of black and white.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing right there. They want to keep us going at one another while they slip in their little secret agendas while we're sitting there bellyaching at one another.
No, well, we're sitting there. Well, a lot of us are sitting there cowed by these people.
Yeah, exactly. So, but hey, I know we're out of time right now, but I got one more caller. Let me get this caller on here. See if this is a hello caller. Welcome to the show. Hello caller. Oh, okay, maybe they're just listening. But anyway, I've come to the end of the show. You all, I intend to do a show next week. You know, like I said, last month was, you know, about turns with my health and, you know, personal tragedy. That's why I didn't, that's why I took a month, you know, and everything. But, you know, I really do intend to do a show next week. And, you know, and of course, the first of the month, that's going to be my time off and whatever to, you know, get things together and stuff like that. But I do intend to do a show next week and not leave you all in the lurch like I did last month. But anyway, thank you all for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. And I'm still going to keep my promise to come visit those other CNN radio programs. You know, still going to keep my promise with that, you know, show my face and everything. But I'm going to go ahead and end the show now. Thank you all for coming on. Thank you all for giving your comments and whatever on this program. Thank you for it. And next week, hopefully, we will have another edition of Black by Color Only. You all take care of yourselves. Stay safe. This is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. Y'all have a good week.
Right. You know, the right one, then you see.
All righty.
cheater anyway. So nobody liked him.
Okay, so pretty strong, brother. Yeah. But you say UBI works anywhere it has to work. Where are the Asian, Latino, and Hispanic basketball and football players? Where are the black guys in the National Hockey League? Those businesses are performance based. It really comes down to Dr. Bill, the issue of justice. And if you really want to go deep to the heart of this, when I say that EPI treats the symptoms but not the sickness, America is in a new civil war right now. The first civil war was the North versus the South. The new civil war is a war of ideology concerning justice. And if, yeah.